Today on Real Radio.
He says one of the things that they're going to do in the last days, prophetically, he's uttering, that they're going to weep and howl. They are going to weep. The word means to sigh with deep, deep pain.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, continues in his series through the New Testament letter written by James. We're in a mini-series that explores the first 12 verses of chapter 5. The section contains forthright language to the believer who misuses his earthly riches. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Patiently Enduring in the Last Days.
One of the days that we were setting up in one of the squares there in England. Country, very successful, very expensive. And everybody's gathered around. And the very next day, I was talking to this man, and this man said, well, if I had the money like Jim Carrey had, everything would be fine in my life. Is that true? Do you think that's real? Do you really think that's real? That's not real at all. Ask Jim Carrey. And I told that man, I said, what do you think Jim Carrey is? Would be happy. Well, can you imagine how much money that man might have? So he has a lot of money. I said, but I'm not going to get into the details, but the fact of the matter is Jim Carrey is searching for Jesus Christ. Now, how do you explain that? You who sit here this morning and you sit here, you're comfortable. I know it's cold outside this morning, but you're sitting here and you're warm. Your bank account's looking kind of nice, especially after where the market ended the other day. And you made a little bit of a profit, feeling okay. And you think you don't need to hear this stuff about eternity. And people walked past the crowds that we were preaching Christ to, and they just gave us the one-way sign, and it wasn't with your index finger, it was with another finger. And who were they really giving it to? To the face of God Himself. You may sit here this morning, and God has so blessed your life, and you have just so sumptuously fed upon the earth and off the earth and all that God has given you, and you say, I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I've done it all myself. I have need of nothing. And God says, be careful. All that you have, I've given you. James is saying, be careful to these dangers that are all around us as Christians. Promises, trinkets that the enemy dangles in front of our lives to take the bait like the hook being dangled in front of us. He says, be careful. There's spiritual situations going on. He says, come now, you who are rich. Now, I've got to tell you, the scholars are divided about what this means. And I'm going to give you the two opinions, and then I'm going to tell you what the real answer is to it all. Some people say James is talking to the Christian, that the Christian can become rich and, in fact, lose his salvation because of his love of his money. Well, certainly a Christian can be rich and love his money and suffer for it, but nowhere does it teach in my Bible that a Christian can be rich, fall in love with his money, and lose his salvation. He could be penalized for his silliness regarding his idolatry and his money, but he doesn't lose his salvation. There are no abortions in the kingdom of heaven. The question is, are you born again? Are you born again? That's the question. My Uncle Ben, he believed. He wound up turning his back on Christ. Listen, you can believe all you want. Has your belief led you to faith in Christ? And have you put your life in Christ's hands? And are you born again by the Spirit of God? Some people say, no, James is talking about those who, in fact, lose their salvation. And in this particular case, the danger was they became rich and they lost it. I don't believe that. Now, here's the correct interpretation and understanding. You ready? Jot it down. James is talking to Christians whatsoever. James is stating the fact like he has been since the moment he started James chapter 1, verse 1. There are those who say they believe, and there are those who say they believe, and there are those who say they believe and live like it, and there are those who say they believe and they don't live like it. Are you with me? There are those who say they have faith. Oh, I have faith. And they see their brother and sister in need, and they say, be warm and be filled, brother. Oh, sorry, have a nice day, and they turn and walk away. And then there are those who say they have faith, or maybe they don't say anything at all, and they wind up buying their brother and sister a Happy Meal down at McDonald's and sustaining their life. There's a big difference in regards to what you say and how you live. But James is saying God here makes a prediction about the rich. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries, here it is prophetically, that are coming upon you. They are coming. If Donald Trump does not find faith in Christ, his wealth will turn out to be his greatest curse. The motive is, what is the rich doing with their money? And you might say, well, yeah, they could get in a lot of trouble. James is saying, what are you doing with your money? What am I doing with mine? He's going to tell us how dangerous money can become. It's not evil. It's how we use it. He says, come now, meaning you personally, you who are rich. And this word rich means those that have enough to sustain them for life, to live. Not life. Not lifetimes. Life today. Now, come on. There is not one person in this room that does not have enough to sustain them for this life today. Every one of us, don't we? You might say, well, it's getting pretty low in my house. If you have a can of Spam, no, forget Spam. If you have a can of tuna, it can sustain you today for life. Anything more than that, we're rich. So now all of us are rich. James is speaking to every one of us, those who are rich. Because we are Christians, we're to dedicate everything to God. We've heard this, but we need to be doing this. He says that the rich who do not know God and to keep their money to themselves and hoard it up for themselves in the last days, he says one of the things that they're going to do in the last days, prophetically, he's uttering, that they're going to weep and howl. They're going to cry. They are going to weep. The word means to sigh with deep, deep pain, weeping. Someone's going to walk up and say, what's the matter? I've lost my money. It's really going to affect them. Now, we may be rich enough, all of us in this room today, to eat, but I don't know if any of us are rich enough that if we lost our money, it would bring us to the point of suicide. We're Christians. We're trusting in Him. This man that James is speaking about, his focus is on money. How much money can we get out of this deal? That's the issue. How much money am I going to make? Listen to me carefully. It's not in their thinking to think like this. How much money can I get out of this job? Because the internal motive is this. The reason why they're asking, what profit can I make off this job? Because what I want to do is take and invest in this missions thing that's coming up, or the homeless. It's a motive to put it upon themselves. How much money can I make so I can get that new Jaguar? You see? And none of us want to hear this. It's convicting. God is not saying you can't have anything. God is saying what you do have, can He have it back? God is saying, can I use it? Have you ever seen kids playing? Especially a selfish kid. Nothing worse than a selfish kid. Little kids are playing. Can I play with your truck? No. Just for a moment? No. And it's all over, and they start to look like this, look like a chicken sitting on a bunch of eggs. No, you can't touch it. Well, then why don't you just go play with your toys by yourself? Kind of a thing. It's that kind of a motive. They're going to weep and they're going to howl. Because as Joel put it, Joel 1:5, it says, awake, snap out of it, says the prophet Joel. He says, snap out of it, wake, you drunks, and weep and wail. All of you who drink strong drink and alcohol, because the new wine that is coming has been cut off from your lips. Oh, there's a new wine coming. There are riches coming. Isn't that great, Christian? We're going to get rich someday. It may not be through this world, but it may be through inheriting the kingdom as we are going to be co-heirs with Jesus Christ for all eternity. What are you laying your treasures up for? Using them for the glory of God? Again, it's not wrong to have money. But if you have some money, you ought to step back and say, my God, how should I be using this to your awesome glory? Mr. Colgate did that. I've told you this before. That man dedicated so much to God's work, God had to bless him. The poor guy would have starved to death. He says, God, if you bless this company, I'll give you 90% of everything I make. 90%, said God. Oh, my goodness. I got to bless this guy's business. He won't be able to eat anything if he gives me 90%. And I think you know who Colgate is. You probably put some of his product in your mouth this morning before you came here, didn't you? Great Christian man. James goes on to tell us that they're going to weep and they're going to howl for the miseries that are coming upon them. James is speaking to an audience that, first of all, had not yet seen the temple destroyed. This is very important historically. James, his letter, the news is going out, and there are people saying, yeah, what is this bozo talking about, this guy James? He's a follower of Christ. And look what happened to Jesus. Supposedly rose again from the dead, but look at this motley crew of people they call Christians. This is just several years on. The temple had not yet been destroyed. All of their identity was wrapped up in the temple and its great wealth and its great glory. The time hadn't come yet. Roman legions hadn't invaded. It was not yet 70 AD. But the miseries that were coming upon them both spoke of what was coming to Israel and to Jerusalem. But the word used in the Greek means what's coming for eternal punishment as well. That's a serious thing. Look with me in verse 3. Your gold and your silver are corroded. Wait, gold and silver corrodes? Well, since when? And their corrosion will be a witness against you. It will eat your flesh like fire. And you have heaped up treasures in the last days. It's an amazing word that James uses here. Gold and silver? We use gold and silver because it doesn't so easily corrode. In fact, some will make an argument it doesn't corrode at all. You know what the word that James uses here is so divinely put, of course, because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He's going to tell us here that this corrosion that's coming to these precious materials will be a corrosion that causes it to flake away. And this is amazing. Have you ever seen like a brand new, let's say it's a brand new piece of silver, and it's beautiful. Maybe it's so old, you see the snapshot of it. But now after many years of being used, have you seen how the silver's been worn off? It's not corroded like it turns, you know, black and rots and smells and you have to throw it away. The word corrosion here means to flake away. It flakes. Well, I have gold. I have been listening to all the programs and I'm changing all of my money into gold. And the Bible says, you just keep laying up gold and silver for the last days. What are you laying it up for? Verse 3, your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and it will eat your flesh like fire. And you have heaped up treasures in the last days. Contrasting to the nature of the Christian, which is the exact opposite as we've been going through this book. In verses 2 and 3, we see that being alerted to the dangers is that there's a false security to riches. He says, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. This cracks me up. Your garments. It suggests precious garments. Precious stuff. What, you know, what's precious? I've got this is Nordstrom's any big anymore? Is that Nordstrom's? Is that a hot store? Got this at Nordstrom's. I've got this at Neiman Marcus or whatever the big store is. Big deal. Do you realize there could be a moth in your house? That's so funny. Well, I just got this from Neiman Marcus. Had to make an appointment to buy it. And some moth hanging out in your house. Oh, man. I love this. It is so funny. We are such a funny people. Where'd you get that? Now, look, I am being very convicted right now as I speak to you. I am. I'll tell you why in a minute. He says, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you. It will eat your flesh like fire, and you have heaped up for yourself treasures in the last days. Yes. Corrupted, moth-eaten, corroded. By the way, in verse 3, the word corroded means venom from a snake. Isn't that weird? It will be venomous like a snake. Things that we can possess if we let them possess us instead of us possessing them and using them to God's glory. It can be like venom. And you know it's true. This is so stupid. I was in England. I'm almost starting to talk like them. I was in England and they have a Doc Martin. That's where Doc Martin's from. You know the shoe, Doc Martin. I said, my gosh, yeah. Just gotta go check it out, you know. And you're looking at the Doc Martens. And I'm figuring out, well, you know, it's not all that good of a deal, really. I mean, we can find them here on sale, but you don't have the selection. And I'm going back and forth. Lord, is this the right thing to do? This is if I do this, I won't be able to eat today. And you know how important that is to me. And what should I do? And this and that and thing. So what do you think I did? I got them on here right now, man. Now, here's my point. This guy tells me the shoes will last you a lifetime. Those are Doc Martens. Those soles are acid tested. You can pour acid on them. Won't even bother. It'll last you a lifetime. So I get him the bag and I'm walking away and I'm thinking, I just got done telling people from the street, yelling my mouth out there to everybody passing by, Jesus is coming soon, but I got Doc Martens. They'll last forever. What am I going to need Doc Martens for if the Lord's coming back soon, you know? These things will last forever. Will they go through the tribulation period? So silly. People are going to be thinking, well, it may not be Doc Martens, but I've got a couple of things put away. For what? Just for some security. That's okay, says the scripture. But are you doing anything to promote the kingdom of God? Is the issue. Don't be like those who go and weep in hell when everything crashes. Stand up and put your shoes on if they're Doc Martens or not. And say, hey, everyone in my neighborhood, I told you. Come on over here and eat beans and drink water at my house. And we'll go through the Bible together. That's what we're going to need to do if that time comes. There's this thing about possessions. Moses is called by God to lead the people out of a very possessions-focused world, out of Egypt. And God calls Moses out, and out they go, and they're going through the wilderness. And Moses is up on the mountaintop. And he's there with God, and all of a sudden, you know, across the headlines, news, the rumor around the camp, over 2.5 million people there in the desert, they began to say, Moses is missing. Have you seen Moses? I haven't seen him. Joshua, he's sitting over there at the base of the hill. He hasn't seen him either. God gives Moses the rule, the law, the Ten Commandments. They're up there talking together on the mountaintop. And before Moses could get down the hill, what's going on? The people are getting all up in a huffy. We got to have a God. Isn't that a weird thing to think? That's a weird thing. They said, we need to have a God. You might be thinking, well, I'd never say that. It's in the human heart to say that. I remember hearing a rock and roll band once say that The people, the crowds, the stadiums filled, they don't worship us. That band member said, we worship them. If they weren't there, we would have no life. Moses is on the mountain, and the people say, we need a God. So Aaron says, well, give me, ladies, all your earrings. Give me earrings. Give me your mirrors. Very, very costly items. Mirrors, earrings. Let's have them. And he molds them in the little calf. Of course, that's not how the story comes by the time Moses shows up. Moses comes down from the mountaintop and says, what in the world is going on here? And Aaron goes, I don't know. I mean, they brought me their gold and silver. I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. It's exactly what we see. Popping fresh calf. It came out. And they've bowed down and paid homage to it. And I loved what Moses said. Moses says, oh, really? Okay. They want to worship false gods and false things of wealth. And here's the word corroded. Grind it down. Give me some sandpaper. Moses starts sanding this calf of gold down in the dust that came off of the calf. Moses mixed with water and made the people drink it. I don't want to be graphic, but use your imagination. This is a point Moses is making. You fools. You've made something out of the bare nakedness of your hands. You've worshipped it. You've eaten it, you've drank it, it's gone through your system, and now it's in a pile, and you call that your God. And everything in this life that robs our worship and praise from God winds up in a pile, doesn't it? In some way, shape, form, or another. He says to the Christian, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Oh, that sounds like a fresh, beautiful water. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also, Christian, be patient. Establish your hearts. Stop building on trash. Stop being able to quote the Simpsons more than you're able to quote 1 Thessalonians. Know what the book of Acts talks about more than what the soap opera is all about. Establish God in your heart. We're living in serious days. They're here now if you haven't caught on. Look past your nose and listen to what's happening in the world. James tells the Christian, cheer up, for the coming of the Lord is at hand.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Patiently Enduring in the Last Days. It's actually a mini-series that looks at the first 12 verses of James chapter 5. Again, the title is Patiently Enduring in the Last Days, part of Pastor Jack's series through the New Testament letter of James, which we will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've been hearing us talk about the Southern California Prophecy Conference we hosted this last weekend. It really was truly amazing. We had an incredible lineup of guest speakers in addition to our own Pastor Jack. Now, because you're a loyal Real Radio listener, we want to let you in on a very special treat. For a gift of any amount in support of the Ministry of Real Radio, we'll send to you a special access card to the audio and video of Pastor Jack's messages at the conference. Now, when you get your access card, you can download both the audio and the video of Pastor Jack's messages and listen or watch on your computer or your smartphone. So the entire Southern California Prophecy Conference available online with the purchase of an all-access card, or you can order an audio CD or video DVD set. For all your options, visit realradioactive.org and look for the SoCal Prophecy Conference banner, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.